Tea time
lecture.
The end of it all. Now, when King Arthur had left England to fight with Sir Lancelot, he had ordered his nephew, Sir Mordred, to govern the land, which that false knight did gladly. And as soon as he thought he might safely do so, he caused some letters to be written, saying that King Arthur had been slain in battle, and he had himself crowned king at Canterbury, where he made a great feast which lasted 15 days. After it was over, he went to Winchester and summoned Queen Guinevere, and told her that on a certain day he would wed her, and that she should make herself ready. Queen Guinevere's soul grew cold and heavy as she heard these words of Sir Mordred's, for she hated him with all her might, as he hated her. But she dared show nothing, and answered softly that she would do his bidding. Only she desired that first she might go to London to buy all manner of things for her wedding. Sir Mordred trusted her because of her fair speech, and let her go. Then the queen rode to London with all speed, and went straight to the Tower, which she filled in haste with food, and called her men-at-arms around her. When Sir Mordred knew how she had beguiled him, he was wroth out of measure, and besieged the Tower, and assaulted it many times with battering rams and great engines, but could prevail nothing, for the queen would never, for fair speech nor for foul, give herself into his hands again. The Bishop of Canterbury hastened unto Sir Mordred, and rebuked him for wishing to marry his uncle's wife. "Leave such desires," said the bishop, "or else I shall curse you with bell, book, and candle. Also, you noise abroad that my lord Arthur is slain, and that is not so, and therefore you will make ill work in the land." At this Sir Mordred waxed very wroth, and would have killed the bishop had he not fled to Glastonbury, where he became a hermit, and lived in poverty, and prayed all day long for the realm, for he knew that a fierce war was at hand. Soon word came to Sir Mordred that King Arthur was hurrying home across the seas to be avenged on his nephew, who had proved traitor. Wherefore Sir Mordred sent letters to all the people throughout the kingdom, and many followed after him, for he had cunningly sown among them that with him was great joy and softness of life, while King Arthur would bring war and strife with him. So Sir Mordred drew with a great host to Dover and waited for the king. Before King Arthur and his men could land from the boats and ships that had brought them over the sea, Sir Mordred set upon them, and there was heavy slaughter. But in the end he and his men were driven back, and he fled, and his people with him. After the fight was over, the king ordered the dead to be buried, and there came a man and told him that he had found Sir Gawain lying in a boat, and that he was sore wounded. And the king went to him and made moan over him. "You were ever the man in the world that I loved most," said he, "you and Sir Lancelot." "Mine uncle, King Arthur," answered Sir Gawain, "my death day has come, and all through my own fault. Had Sir Lancelot been with you, as he used to be, this unhappy war had never begun, and of that I am the cause, for I would not accord with him. And therefore I pray you, give me paper, pen, and ink, that I may write to him." So paper and ink were brought, and Sir Gawain was held up by King Arthur, and a letter was writ wherein Sir Gawain confessed that he was dying of an old wound given him by Sir Lancelot in the siege of one of the cities across the sea, and thus was fulfilled the prophecy of Merlin. "Of a more noble man might I not be slain," said he. "Also, Sir Lancelot, make no tarrying, but come in haste to King Arthur, for sore bested is he with my brother Sir Mordred, who has taken the crown, and would have wedded my lady Queen Guinevere, had she not sought safety in the Tower of London. Pray for my soul, I beseech you, and visit my tomb." And after writing this letter at the hour of noon, Sir Gawain gave up his spirit and was buried by the king in the chapel within Dover Castle. Then it was told King Arthur that Sir Mordred had pitched a new field upon Barnham Down, and the next morning the king rode hither to him, and there was a fierce battle between them, and many on both sides were slain. But at last King Arthur's party stood best, and Sir Mordred and his men fled to Canterbury. After the knights which were dead had been buried, and those that were wounded tended with healing salves, King Arthur drew westwards towards Salisbury, and many of Sir Mordred's men followed after him. But they that loved Sir Lancelot went unto Sir Mordred. And a day was fixed between the king and Sir Mordred that they should meet upon a down near Salisbury and give battle once more. But the night before the battle, Sir Gawain appeared unto the king in a vision and warned him not to fight the next day, which was Trinity Sunday, as he would be slain and many of his knights also, but to make a truce for a month, and at the end of that time Sir Lancelot would arrive and would slay Sir Mordred and all his knights with him. As soon as he awoke, the king called the bishops and the wisest men of his army and told them of his vision and took counsel what should be done. And it was agreed that the king should send an embassage of 2 knights and 2 bishops unto Sir Mordred and offer him as much goods and lands as they thought best if he would engage to make treaty for a month with King Arthur. So they departed and came to Sir Mordred, where he had a grim host of 100,000 men. For a long time he would not suffer himself to be entreated, but at the last he agreed to have Cornwall and Kent in King Arthur's days, and after all England. Furthermore, it was decided that King Arthur and Sir Mordred should meet in the plain between their hosts, each with 14 persons. "I am glad of this," said King Arthur, when he heard what had been done. But he warned his men that if they were to see a sword drawn, they were to come on swiftly and slay that traitor, Sir Mordred, for I in no wise trust him. And in likewise spake Sir Mordred unto his host. Then they two met and agreed on the truce, and wine was fetched, and they drank, and all was well. But while they were drinking, an adder crept out of a bush and stung one of the 14 knights on his foot, and he drew his sword to slay the adder, not thinking of anything but his pain. And when the men of both armies beheld that drawn sword, they blew trumpets and horns and shouted grimly and made them ready for battle. So King Arthur leaped on his horse and Sir Mordred on his, and they went back to their own armies, and thus began the fight. And never was there seen one more doleful in any Christian land. For all day long there was rushing and riding, spearing and striking, and many a grim word was there spoken, and many a deadly stroke given. And at the end full 100,000 dead men lay upon the down, and King Arthur had but two knights left living, Sir Lucan and his brother, Sir Bedivere. Alas, that I should have lived to see this day, cried the king, for now I am come to mine end. But would to God that I knew were that traitor Sir Mordred that had caused all this mischief. Then suddenly he saw Sir Mordred leaning on his sword among a great heap of dead men.